This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond just talking about Christianity to actually living more like Christ. We're talking about the Christ who had to tell his disciples repeatedly, do not be afraid. I don't know about you, I'd be afraid if I were on a boat with a stormy sea, and more so if I were asked to walk on that water. And he challenged them over and over again to trust him in difficult circumstances. The beautiful thing about this topic, do not be afraid, is it relates to each one of us with the circumstances of our lives, even today. And we have a guest who's written a book. The book is called Fear Fighting. Kelly Ballari, thank you for being our guest, because we want you to help us understand how to deal with our fears and how to come out victorious.
Thank you so much for having me here today. It's my prayer that God will move and that we'll be able to take that journey today where we can each become a little less fearless as a result of being together today.
Do you mind starting, Kelly, by giving us a little bit of your story? How did you come to write this book?
Absolutely. I've been a fearing woman. I've gone through so many things where I've encountered fear head on. I've lost jobs. I've been out of money. I've hit a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis where I had multiple MRI after MRI, and it looked like I really was going to be diagnosed with this. We've lost family members. It's just been a hard road. I even had an eating disorder in college, and fear really drove me into that. In so many ways, I've struggled with fear, and that's really why I came to write this book. You know, I think one time I was sitting down with my husband, and he had seen me after I'd maybe tried and failed, you know, over 10 different company ideas that I had, and I just couldn't follow through. And he said, Kelly, what are you going to do with your life? Like, what do you think God has for you? And he just really wanted me to push through what was holding me back. And in that moment, I realized, you know, I have a choice here. I can continue to let fear hold me back, or I can let go and surrender to God and see where he wants to take me. And that's what this book is really about, fear fighting. It's about surrendering to God. It's about saying, God, this is where I'm at. I'm struggling. I'm fearful. I'm afraid. I'm worrying. What can you do with a girl like me? If I just open myself up to you and become ready, willing, and available, can you change me, God?
Wow. This really does relate, I know, to my life, and I can imagine everyone saying the same, because we all have ambitions, and sometimes fear gets in the way. So maybe start us out. I know we're going to really focus on what you call in your book the 8 fear inducers, but start us out by helping us understand, to think about fear itself. Is this like a biblical concept? What would you give us to encapsulate the challenge before us? Maybe it's a scripture, maybe it's a story from your life defining fear.
Yes. Well, Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I love this verse, and there's many different verses where God says, do not fear, and then he says, I'm with you. And I think, you know, we look and we see in the Bible that God says over 300 times, you know, do not fear, or do not be afraid. I think, first of all, there's this knowledge that that's what we're prone to do. That's our first instinct, right? You hear something loud, you jump, you get afraid. But look at how loving our God is. Because what he wants us to know is, oh, we don't have to be afraid because God is with us. He doesn't just say, don't fear. A lot of times I'll say in my head, oh, Kelly, don't fear. Don't fear. Stop fearing. Stop worrying. You're not supposed to do this. That's God. And you're not doing it, Kelly. But no, instead God says, yes, don't be afraid. But instead replace it with the knowledge that I'm with you. I'm leading you. I'm going to help you. You know, I will not forsake you. I have a path for you. I know the end from the beginning. And it's that's so powerful in a fear fight.
Wow. The Lord is so powerful. So what you're saying, in essence, as we get into the things that induce fear, is the solution is to get closer to God?
That's right. Well, I don't want to just say that there's like this cure-all solution, because I sometimes I hate just just boiling down the goodness of God to just one thing when he's so powerful in all his different ways. But definitely a huge thing is just letting go to, it's almost like, you know, that game where you stand there and you fall backwards and someone catches you. It's that letting go of just falling back into God's arms and knowing he's going to be there to catch you. So you're willing to take that step of faith because you believe that God's going to meet you. As you let go of fear, he's going to exchange it. You let go, but guess what? He gives back. He gives you back his best gift, whether that's your calling or your purpose or new passion or a clear road to where you're supposed to go. God is a giver to us as we hand over to him. So that kind of encapsulates a large portion, love and surrender and the power of God just being with us.
That's good. Okay, so the first thing listed in your book, Kelly, is this idea of the devil. And we have this phrase, a devil made me do it, and we use him as an excuse. Are you saying this is an actual factor that can cause fear?
Well, certainly we know that God is love, right? And we also know that God says, my perfect love casts out fear in 1 John 4:18, okay? So if God is love, fear is something that is used as a tool from the enemy. And we don't always want to just blame everything. Oh, the devil made me do it, or this is the devil, or that. You know, we also have personal responsibility. So there is a fight going on. There's a fight for, are we going to keep our eyes on God, or are we going to place our eyes on fear? And when you're looking at fear, it's almost like a big ball is in front of you. Imagine it like a snowball, you know, and it's in front of your eyes and you can't see to God. And the more you fear, the more it rolls and rolls bigger and bigger down a hill until you're kind of certain that it's basically going to run you over and you're going to die and there's no way you can ever live. And suddenly you're not focused on love and ministry to mankind. You're focused on, I've got to self-preserve myself. I'm just trying to stay alive here. And so it's really a tool used by the enemy to deter followers of Jesus Christ, those on a mission on this earth to do his great and glorious work, his calling, to divert us, to distract us, to hold us back.
Yeah, about the devil and spiritual powers of darkness, I like to say that there are two extremes that we're to avoid. One is ignorance, and it's where we act like these things don't exist, that there is no spiritual warfare around us. And that happens in our materialistic society, and we lose out in that front. But then we begin to realize there are dark forces, and fear is the other extreme, because our Lord is all-powerful. He wants us to be aware, not ignorant, and courageous, not fearful. Then you list control, and I think we all kind of get that, Kelly. We want to be in control, and none of us, at certain points of our lives, we all come to admit we're not. We just don't have this thing called control. Can you help us understand this a little more?
Absolutely. You know, it's so funny. I was sitting down with my son one day, and he drew a picture of me, and I'm like, oh, wow, I'm super mommy. Like, he wants to draw a picture of his mommy. I'm doing so well. He really loves me. And he drew a little, like, kind of bubble coming up from my head, and I go, oh, you know, I was kind of trying to be Miss Psychologist with him. What's mommy thinking there? And he goes, she's thinking about herself. I'm thinking, oh, man. I go, but isn't this the truth with control? With control, we're thinking about ourselves. We're trying to make sure we're going to be okay at everybody else's expense. You know, we come first, and that's not the, you know, when you say about living like Christ, that's not how Christ lived. He didn't control his circumstances. Sure, he knew at moments he needed to step away and pray, but he was just led by God, following what the Lord had for him. And we can't be doing that when we are trying to manage or hold our life in our hands. We just grip it and we can't let go. But the letting go is where we're letting God into our heart to rework us into the image of Christ.
Again, how relevant. I think every one of us can say, right now, you who are listening could say, here's an area where I really want control. If I just had control of this, everything would work out. But the reality is, we're never going to have complete control. There are circumstances beyond our control. And so what you're saying is, when we let go and we're trusting God, we know who's got the controls, and we know he loves us. He's all powerful. It's going to be all right. Beautiful.
That's right.
But then what happens to me and this is what you have as your third area, is I get into people pleasing. I get into thinking what they think really matters more than maybe what God calls me to be or to do. And that really, that jerks my chain. Talk to us about people pleasing.
People pleasing is something that has gripped me from day one. You know, at that time when I had the eating disorder, all I wanted to do was be everything to everyone. And if I met you and you wanted me to be intellectual, I would put on my intellectual hat and I would act really smart and not say too much, but say really good things. Or if you wanted me to be the outgoing Kelly, oh, I'd be outgoing. And I just fit everything to the T. And I applied to job interviews and I wanted to be the perfect candidate. And so I read their websites down to the very bottom, and I knew everything that they wanted in the candidate, so much so that when they asked me the interview questions, I just repeated back to them exactly what they wanted to hear. But when I went home at night, what I felt like was a fraud and a liar, because I knew that this wasn't me. These were all just images that I was trying to portray. And I felt lost, and I didn't even know who I was. I was like, who was I created to be? People-pleasing steals who we are, who God made us to be, for this image of just some exalted person that's not even true. And so we lose ourselves in the process, and it's a very, very sad thing. So many of us are doing this, so many of us, but God has made us a child. He made us as a child, you know, where we were authentic. And I would go in my backyard and just spin around and sing and dance and just know that God saw me. And I didn't care who was looking. I was just me. And so I think getting past this is about resurrecting who God made us to be, pulling back some of those childlike tendencies and enjoying ourselves. And again, it's kind of tied with control as well, just letting go and becoming free to not be concerned with others, but to be fully concerned with just knowing that God delights over us.
Kelly, is there any suggestion, maybe a personal secret, things that have helped you to overcome this area of worrying more about what people think about you than what God thinks about you? Like maybe memorizing certain key promises or a list of biblical truths that you read every day. I mean, is there something that's helped you particularly?
You know what? I think I lived before life as a Christian on defense, whereas I would go through my day and I might meet someone and realize, oh, this is kind of how they want me to be, or, you know, this is what they want to hear. I want them to like me. And I would do that. But now when I wake up in the morning, I live more of my Christian life on offense. And so I get up and I'm like, okay, God, you have beauty for me today. God, you are with me today. God, you are going before me. God, I want to do your will. I want to have your eyes to see and your hands to touch people and to pray for people and go out, God. And I just welcome Jesus to be the initiator of everything that I do. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect at this, because I'm certainly not a saint and I mess up all the time, but I think it's a shift. And it's a mindset for the day that changes things, because then you're starting to just welcome and you anticipate what God's going to do rather than just feeling like what the world's going to do to you.
A very, I would say, biblical shift, because Romans 8 tells us we're victors in Christ. And the Bible exhorts us, even in that chapter, to pray boldly, to know God's helping us in our prayers. God is walking alongside us to give us this sense of triumph and courage. So I love it. But sometimes worry comes in. We just start, I think it goes back to control and insecurities, certainly. But worry itself, do you have suggestions about worry or a challenge for us along those lines?
Yes. Worry is like the endless hamster wheel that you can't get off. Once you step on, you just keep on running and running and running, and you just get yourself nowhere, but you think you're doing something, but you're really doing nothing. And so I encourage us to realize that when we're worrying, we can't be worshiping God. It's just, they don't go together. They don't hold hands. And I know my greatest time of worry is when I lay at bed at night and all the world shuts down and suddenly I recount my day and I'm like, oh my goodness, I messed up in this way and I should have done that and I'll never be a good mom I need to improve as a wife and it just goes and it starts spinning out and I can't fall asleep. And one tip that I have for nighttime worry, or even if you wake in the middle of the night, is to just, I say the ABCs of God. God is always by my side. God will be with me wherever I go. C, God cares for me. He is slow to anger, and compassionate. And I just go through the alphabet, and I've never made it to Z without falling asleep before I arrive there.
So, in other words, you add to each letter a new concept, reminding you don't worry, and it just gives you peace when you begin thinking that way. You know, the Bible tells us to be anxious about nothing, but in everything, and it goes on to talk about praying and finding God's peace. And so there's no allowance for worry in the scripture. You know, Paul's words, I just quoted from Philippians, the last chapter, chapter 4. Has that been helpful to you in this area?
Yes, because prayer really is a fabulous antidote to worry. The power of prayer, I think, is so neglected. And that pains me a little bit because, when you just pray and you know, God tells us to come before his throne with boldness and confidence, and he hears us. Like, we have the creator of all the universe who wants to hear my prayers, my concerns. He moves. We can move God. We are coming before him, and he changes our heart through prayer. And there is a reason why he puts together worry and prayer in the same room and with this, because there's release there. So I love that.
Mm. Now, I want you to help us on the next, comparison and competition. I mean, we grow up in a culture that tells us you've got to get your grades, and our family life, our school life makes us feel like we've got to excel in our performance. And then we watch TV all the way through our lives, and we see these commercials and the ideal body shape or the perfect job, and we're always striving to be better and against our neighbor. And the amazing thing to me about this one, Kelly, is it comes so much into the church that even the leaders of the church, the spiritual shepherds, the pastors, and I'm a pastor, so I admit this, our tendency is to compare and to compete. We begin saying, I need a better church. I need to do better than the church down the street. And that's just wrong, because there's a God who loves us all eternally. And in that significance, we should be able to bless others instead of strive against them. So what has helped you in this area? Because I think it's something, again, we all struggle with this.
I agree with you completely. And I am prone to do this. You know, even as a writer, it's like, oh, how is other writers doing? Or how am I doing? And it's just, it's a horrible thing. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, this book that I wrote, I know it changed my life. My husband laughs. Even if it changes no one else, Kelly, it changed you radically. And I'm like, yes, you're right. But the thing is, does God look at me and say, oh, Kelly, your book is reaching this many people. Well done. No. No, he's just even delighting with what he's doing in my own heart with this book. And this book might just reach only one person. But that might be the one person that God saves their life, or the one person that goes out and inspires countless other people. And so we just seem to measure ourselves based on these worldly standards, but God's not measuring us by that at all. He's looking at our heart, and he's looking at what he's doing. And we don't have limited opportunities. We serve an unlimited God. And we cannot count our worth by the world. We have to look at beyond that and see into the spiritual realm, into the spiritual world, and say, you know what? This is God's worth on this. This is God's beauty. You know, I have friends who have prayed for me behind the scenes, and they're getting no glory. They're not here on the radio with me right now. But you know what? They're worth far more than gold. And God, when he sees them, oh, he rejoices over them. He's just applauding them, I imagine, because they're so unseen, but their work is so powerful and pivotal to what's going on in the kingdom of God. And so it's just a whole different way of thinking about things. And it pains me when we think about churches who are caught up in numbers or competition or comparison, because what we really need to be doing is driving into the heart of God and helping believers just become on fire and passionate and driven into this wild thing that we have. Maybe our churches don't need to be as big. I don't know. But I just encourage us all to just make it about the heart.
Yeah. Christ said the one that would be greatest must be least. And in the Gospel of Mark, which has that servant theme, he called himself the servant of all. And, you know, when we get beyond comparing and thinking, if someone else succeeds for God, that's my success. How can I support him?
Yes,
we become really free,
exactly.
Don't we? We're no longer striving to try to do some great thing. We're just so grateful for God and his goodness. And then we begin to see, I think, that the greatest thing when we meet the Lord is not going to be, oh, I've done all these things for you, Lord. it's going to be him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Have we been faithful? And to me, that's not measured by what I do compared with someone else or with what I did last year. It's, am I faithful in my heart and wanting to please him?
Yeah.
Well, when I get myself to that place, sometimes God speaks to me and I sense his call and I wait for him to fulfill it and I begin to fear. In other words, you know, Moses was at the burning bush. You think of all times he saw the glory of God right in front of them. He takes off his shoes, and before you know it, he's trembling. He's like, no, I can't do this. And how do we get over this idea of while we're waiting on God, we end up trembling?
Yes, and it's easy to start trembling in waits, isn't it? Where you have this idea of where you should be or where you want to be, or maybe people are dealing with a health concern, or just different, you know, hoping for someone to know Christ, hoping for a marriage, and it just seems painful. And you just look down the road and you see that destination, and you're like, I want to be there. That's where I'm supposed to be, God. Why aren't I there yet, God? And you're just frustrated by it, right? You're just frustrated. Or maybe you have something in your past, and you're like, oh, man, I want to be delivered by this. God, when in the future are you going to deliver me from it, God? I should be way down there. I should be a better person. And again, you're waiting to be better. Well, the thing about this is when we're looking in the future or we're looking to the past to be a better person or to be delivered, we miss the present. We miss the present. And the present is Jesus right here in our given moment where he says, hey, Kelly Bellari, I'm here with you. I want you to be here with me. God's working ground is really our present ground that we walk on. It is right here, right now. Right here, right now is where joy is found. Right here, right now is where peace is found. Right here, right now is where God's transformation is. And so what we fail to realize is while we were looking in these other places, we missed the work that God was spurring up in us. And so really, God, that coming alive to prayer and just and the presence of God is the power that we have in our life to be changed.
That's really good. Isaiah 40 talks about waiting on the Lord and then mounting up with wings like the eagle and almost renewing our youth. It's just an amazing thing to see Christians in the Bible through history. And now today, even, we can look around and see these people who really trust God, who overcome fear by trusting, as you said at the start, not something we work up, but we're trusting in this God who's with us, who will always be with us. So thank you for that. But here's the challenge. We get into a place where we're obeying God, we're being courageous, and then people reject us. We might even get persecuted. It's not rampant in this culture. We read about it in other cultures, other countries where Christians are jailed, they're tortured for their faith, or they might lose their lives. How do we handle that, Kelly? Your book is all about not being fearful, but what happens when it gets tough like that?
Yeah, that is very, very tough. And I think that that's really where the rubber meets the road. And even for me, sometimes I just pray, oh God, please, if anything was to come against me and I was to have to be persecuted or to stand up for your name, let me stand firm and stand fast for you. And so again, I think that that's some about getting on the offense, right? Preparing ourselves because we don't know what tomorrow holds. God tells us we don't know what tomorrow holds. And but we also are not supposed to fear it either. And so really, I think sometimes we can work ourselves into a tizzy about thinking about these things, right? We're like, oh, what if this, what if that? And God's like, no, just be here with me now. And this is the other thing. To view fear fearless, right? We all want to be fearless as fearing less. God wants us to just give him faith in that little moment, that little prompt where God, where you think, okay, I'm prone to fear right now, but God, I have a choice. I can choose to believe you by faith. I can just choose to just let this go into your hand, or I can choose to continue to walk in fear and to take a step towards fearless and then take another step towards fearless. Take another step towards fearing less, right? Each time, just a little bit less, step after step until you take all these steps, and then you look back and you see how far you've come, you know? And so that's what we're doing. When each time we're taking a step in fearing less, we are arming ourselves. We are building ourselves up in Christ Jesus so that we can endure when our time of testing comes, and we can stand firm and we can win our race when push comes to shove. And so that's the power. That's the sanctification process.
That's good. One step at a time. It's like Peter getting out in the water, one step at a time. Lord, you're right there. Yeah. I see you. I'm coming. I'm following.
Exactly. But
sometimes, and this is the last point in your major point in terms of fear inducers in your book, but it's very relevant. Sometimes we're trying to take those steps one at a time, and it's like a ball and chain. Something is holding us up tied to the past. Do you have any advice about that area where we've got something in our lives that's just nagging, a nagging fear? It's something about the past that's preventing us from walking boldly into the present and future.
Yes. The past can be a really mean bully that tries to tell us who we are. Maybe it was something that a parent spoke up over us, or it was something that we heard on the school ground, but it tries to say, put a label on us that says, Kelly is fill in the blank. Maybe it's selfish or whatever, not enough, whatever it may be. There's probably something that's been spoken over you that it has become somewhat of an identity that you carry that then holds you back because you fear that you are this way, fill in the blank. You cannot do this for God. And that just will be used against you. One thing that I encourage all of us to do is to go back and look. What is the theme of your past? Where did you feel most injured, most wounded, and hurt? And what is it that God might want to speak into that place? What would his truth and his scripture and through prayer, what might he reveal to you that he wants to tell you about yourself, not who you are that everybody else said that you are, but who he declares you to be? And then maybe you write that truth down on a little piece of paper and you insert it into your wallet, or you put it up onto your mirror in your house, and you, in the morning time, every morning you look at it and, you know, you say something like, I've not been given a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, or something that just really speaks to you in relation to that wound. And you start to dwell on it through your day. You walk through holding on to it, letting it live within you, like moving it from your head to your heart, where it really becomes part of your DNA.
Thank you, Kelly. Again, I encourage listeners to look for this book, Fear Fighting. I'm sure you can just Google it. You can go onto Amazon. Kelly, thank you for writing this. It's really, I think, a story of your life. It's your life message. Are you available to speak if people want to reach out to you?
Absolutely. I would love that. That would be a joy.
How do they reach you?
You can reach me at fearfightingbook.com or at purposefulfaith.com.
Okay. Thank you, and God bless you. And may we all go forth courageously.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com, where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.